Welcome to Horangi Cybersecurity's Ask a CISO podcast. Come with us as we take a deep dive behind the scenes with the world's top cybersecurity leaders to get insights into security issues you care about. Before we take off, please help us grow by taking just a few seconds to like and subscribe to the podcast on YouTube, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts, and leave us a review letting us know what you think of the podcast and how we can improve.
Hi, everyone. I'm Paul Haji, and I'm here with another episode of the Ask a CISO podcast powered by Horangi. So I'm the co-founder and CEO of Horangi, and I'll be presenting our podcast this week. Before I introduce our guests, please don't forget to like and subscribe or follow us on YouTube, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts to help us grow. So with me today, we have Vikas Yadav. Vikas is an experienced information security professional and is presently the CISO at an Indian e-commerce company. He actively mentors professionals in transitioning to cybersecurity, and his core interests lie in cloud security and securing digitally native businesses. He's a military veteran and has served under the Indian Army in information security and leadership position for over 10 years. Welcome, Vikas. Welcome to the Ask a CISO podcast.
Thanks, Paul. Pleasure to be here.
Yeah. What a list of sort of like activities and accomplishments you have. And, you know, we're, of course, very honored to have you. How are things going today? And maybe tell us a bit about how you got into cybersecurity in the first place.
Thanks, Paul. I think it's always exciting to be interviewed by a CEO and also a veteran in this information security industry. How I got into information security was that I had a background in technology. I was working in the defense in the Indian Army, and my core role was in telecommunications and information technology. So when I did my master's in computer science from IIT Kharagpur, I was introduced to the world of hacking and also cybersecurity. And I think the passion started there, and the curiosity has never ebbed. So I think that was a general start. I was able to get some experience in the Indian Army working in information warfare and also information security roles. So that kindled my interest, I would say. And also then I pursued this through doing various courses online, also attending conferences. I attended a few of them. It excited me. So after doing my mandatory service of 20 years, I transitioned to a leadership role as a security lead of an insurance company. And I think since then, since the last 6 years, I've been in leadership roles, but always curious, always interested in cybersecurity. It always keeps you on your toes. And I'm also one of those people who've worked right from Linux in the old ages to floppy drives and these things. But it still keeps me exciting. I think now you talk about cloud, talk about generative AI, but cybersecurity keeps you curious, and I'm always passionate about it.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, like, you know, one of the good things about this field is that it is always changing. And, you know, because we're so closely tied to technology, you know, always new advancements and new ways to break it as well. So I think generally it's, you know, it's the best thing about cybersecurity, in my opinion, is that, like, there's always something new to learn about and something new to be interested in. And, you know, ultimately, like, as we're protecting our organizations from sort of threats, there's always a human on the other side. And us humans are pretty intuitive and can get around a lot of the sort of measures that are put into place. So things change all the time, good or bad. Interesting, you have a bit of a military background. Myself, I was never in the military, but did spend a lot of time working in that space, and was in Afghanistan for a year working for Palantir, doing cybersecurity, but also just general intelligence stuff there. So while I wasn't in the military myself, I do have some experience in working closely with the military. So great to see the transition. I think very common in the U.S. too, that people learn about cybersecurity and the military and transition to the sort of commercial sector afterwards. I think it's a great way to go. Maybe you can talk a bit more about your transition and maybe like how you've got your first role coming out of the military, because I'm sure that's quite interesting for a lot of folks.
I think in the cybersecurity industry, you're always transitioning. So I think moving from one industry to another is also a transition. So while I was in the Army, I had my fundamental and foundational aspects of information security covered. But I think I used a three-point framework to transition. I think first was to gain knowledge which was relevant in the industry. then have the skills to apply that knowledge to a particular organization, and finally also networking to be able to know what knowledge I had to share, was it relevant or not, how did I gain from others' experience, and also then slowly understand and pitch myself to for the roles. So how I gained knowledge was that I read a lot of blogs, books, and also customarily I did a few certifications, maybe just to cross the HR barrier, but still it gives you a well-rounded perspective to the whole aspect. So I did CISSP, I did CISM, and then I also focused on cloud aspects as well. So I did a little bit of learning for Amazon Web Services, and also the Cloud Security Alliance's certified in cloud security knowledge. I felt that today's cybersecurity professionals cannot remain away from cloud. From a skills perspective, it's a little difficult, but I was still able to volunteer in few organizations and also apply certain industry concepts in the military, in my areas and my roles. And I also realized that there is a lot of much more interaction which is needed between any defense and the military environment, because they both bring their pluses and negatives, and there's a lot of interaction and both can benefit from it. And finally, I started attending a number of conferences and attending local chapters of forums like ISC2, ISACA, NULL in India. And while unfortunately, there were not many virtual meetups at that time. So I attended a lot of physical events, and I think that brought things close. But I think COVID has changed that. Now I think you can attend a lot of these virtual summits and gain all that experience sitting at your home as well. So while I attended these conferences, after a year or so, I gave myself a timeline that now that I've gained all the knowledge, it's time for me to share as well. So I pitched to a few conferences to speak. Fortunately, was given the opportunity in a few, got rejected in a few, as it always happens. I spoke at a few conferences, gave my perspective from a background in military. And over the time, I had built a good peer network. So when I was transitioning, I was able to pitch for a few roles and was able to close in on one of them, that is as a security leader of an insurance company, as their first CISO. So it was a nice and challenging work, but it helped me. And I think that is why I also try and mentor other professionals, both from the military and other professions, to try and transition to cybersecurity, because there is a huge demand and we need more and more professionals, I think, every day for these roles.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I mean, I think, you know, having a background in the military and security in general, I think is really helpful when you make that transition to cybersecurity, because I think a lot of the sort of traditional security aspects, as well as like defense and military, frankly, align pretty closely with cybersecurity knowledge, right? Like, I think it's similar concepts. You know, battlefield is a bit different. There's like different problems, but you know, the way people think about the different sort of aspects of security are similar. So I think it's a good sort of transition for a lot of people that are in the military. And I think you know, especially those obviously that studied or worked on cybersecurity problems in the military. But and as you say, there is a talent deficit, and that exists everywhere in the world. So helping people kind of make that transition, I think, is really sort of honorable, and something that I also strive to do myself. I think it's we can never have enough people, because I believe this is going to be one of the biggest problems in the future, starting a company in this space. Cool. So what are kind of like, you know, with kind of the increasing frequency of cyber threats, how has the role of the CISO kind of evolved over the years, and what do you see as like challenges a lot of your peers or yourself are facing kind of in a digitally native business?
I think what is happening in the present landscape is that the threat landscape is constantly evolving. The fundamental challenges of security do remain, where you're talking about confidentiality, integrity, and availability. But the threat landscape is changing. You have more phishing attacks, more sophisticated ones, more ransomware, companies being affected by ransomware. And even the cloud has shifted the attack surface completely today. So you are much, much more exposed to the world and also to adversaries than you were when you were in an on-prem environment where you were only exposing very limited this thing. So cloud does bring in both its positives. That means you get a lot of visibility, you can do a lot of automation and controls, but also exposes you to multiple environments. So I think from a CISO's perspective, remaining aware of how your company is, what is the business context, understanding what are the likely threats, maybe even building a very high level threat model. So a threat model is limited to application security, but I think even as CISOs, you can build a very nice general model. Oh, what are the kind of people who might attack us? What are the kind of techniques they would use? What are the kind of adversaries which I'm facing? Based on that, you can actually build the controls and also your relationships as to how you want to protect your organization. So I think that is what is there. So today, for CISOs to remain aware, you need to be constantly reading, constantly interacting with your peers, and also being aware as to what are the latest solutions which you can bring innovation to this. A simple example being cloud security posture management, like with your company, Horangi, or others. It's brought a new perspective. Earlier, we used to think that only native controls are good enough to protect. But I think the visibility and the broad width which a cloud security posture management tool gives you will not be available through native controls. So I think such constantly remaining updated, and also trying out new things, and also looking for new threats, being in the lookout for new threats, is the way a CISO should be looking at from securing its organization.
Yeah, for sure. And like, you know, one of the things you mentioned that I talk a lot at startup events, like, you know, about security, but also about kind of the founder side of things. And I think one of the things I always advise some of the smaller businesses starting out trying to invest in security is basically what you just described, like understand at least and kind of like help your company and the people that you hire understand why someone might want to attack you. And then also like just let them know that security is like a serious part of your organization in terms of culture. And I think that like, well, especially when you're small, like you need to be thinking sort of fiscally responsibly. You know, it helps quite a lot because people are like making decisions around, you know, security first mindset and just like, you know, if I'm opening this email, if I'm using this vendor, I'm going to ask some questions about security, with just really just kind of like heightens the level of sort of security involved in your organization. And like, you know, if you build it into the culture, it's much easier to do that at the beginning than it is to do it backwards. Yeah.
If I may, I think one point I missed was internally shaping the culture is very also equally important. Understanding how your company's culture is and shaping it over a period of time through trainings, awareness, or top-down initiatives is also very important, because you just externally focused will not help you understand how your organization views security. So that's also a very, very important, shaping the culture, shaping the thought process, and building security from within is also where you can actually do a lot without spending a lot and being frugal, but innovative.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, being financially responsible is an important part of any CISO, because, of course, you can spend a ton of money and, you know, be fully, well, and never truly fully protected, but you can spend a ton of money. But, you know, the reality is all of us have budgets to work within. And, you know, sometimes you got to make choices around what's important to protect and those things. And that's, I think, one of the challenges of being a CISO as well. So how important do you kind of view sort of continuous professional development and sort of mentorship for aspiring cybersecurity people? I know you mentioned you kind of contribute to mentoring others in the field, but what are some kind of resources or certifications you recommend for those either entering or those who are looking to further their learning there?
So I have a feeling that you cannot survive in cybersecurity world without constantly upskilling yourself. Now, the modes of upskilling may be different. Let's say you could read books for people. You have to understand first what is the medium which makes you assimilate knowledge the best. If you like reading books, I would recommend the Cybersecurity Canon by Rick Howard. He initially initiated it, and now it's, I think, been maintained by the Ohio State University. It's got a list of books which are recommended for cybersecurity professionals. So maybe you can start picking up them, and they're a very nice mix of fiction and nonfiction ones. So that's a good start point for reading books. From, I think, online learning, there's a plethora of courses. So I think you'll have to first write down what you need to do. I think Coursera has a lot of wonderful courses in cybersecurity. Even edX, MIT, everyone has relevant courses. But if you want structure and you want organized, then you can obviously lean towards certifications. CISSP being good, but I think not too early in your profession, maybe after 10 to 15 years, it gives you a broad education. I think even CompTIA has a very good gradual path to understanding security, starting with Security Plus, then CISA Plus, and then the other advanced certifications also. So they are a good mix of practical and theory. I would, in fact, I favor to certifications which have a more practical aspect to it, because studying theory itself is not good enough. So that is where I think with cloud technologies coming up, understanding cloud very well is equally important. Now, that is why you can pick up one of the AWS Azure and do their fundamental security and then the pseudo security specialization as well. Even in the GRC space, there are now a lot of certifications coming up. But I think besides certifications, building a holistic knowledge of systems and solutions which are your company is using is also an imperative work. So my suggestion is to focus on the medium which you like, be it books, be it videos, free online courses, a lot of availability on YouTube or certifications. And then also network and go to conferences, attend talks by industry experts, understand it. And if you have something to contribute, teach also. What I do personally is that the MIT X-Pro has a course on cybersecurity. It's a 9-month course. So I also mentor that course. That means on weekends, we give them an industry perspective. I do the same with Great Learning in India. They have another course which was in collaboration with Stanford. Now they have their own course. So I give students of these courses free, I'll say, mentoring on the industry aspects while tying up with these organizations. It's my way of giving back and also my way of learning. I think because when you talk to people who are in the industry, you also gain a lot of experience. And they have a large variety of people. I have even CIOs coming and attending cybersecurity courses. So I also learn a lot through that. I think that's mentoring is a two-way process.
Yeah, for sure. And like, I mean, personally, my favorite way of learning is by talking to people and engaging with people. But I think, you know, as you mentioned, it varies for everyone. But yeah, like I agree, like going to conferences, meeting new people, meeting people to like sort of coordinate research and learn from, I think is very cool. And then like in your own time, yeah, like reading in classes are also great ways to continue learning. And, you know, I mean, there's, in my opinion also, there's nothing really better than just like getting your hands dirty. So once you get your first job in cybersecurity, like there's so many opportunities to learn at your organization, as well. And that's always a great place to learn. And I think frankly, where I learned most of my stuff was on the job, as well. So, that's great to hear. And kind of as a CISO, what advice would you give to someone starting out their career in cybersecurity, and particularly those who aspire to reach sort of a leadership level?
I think the advice is applicable to everyone who's entering the cybersecurity industry. I think aim is to maybe have a T-shaped approach to your cybersecurity career. That means go pick up one area domain, be it AppSec, be it cloud security, be it legal and compliance. Go deep in one area. Be a specialist, spend at least your first 4 to 6 years or maybe 6 to 8 years specializing in their area of expertise, while also having good understanding or at least collaborating with your peers to understand how they work. Let's say if you're an AppSec, understanding cloud, understanding IT infra, understanding security operations, and then also the legal side aspect of it. And then as you rise up, keep picking up these small, small areas by volunteering or listening and understanding. So then build your broad-based skill set as well. And once you have those, this is all the technology part, but then also working on your soft skills as well. Being able to write well, being able to present, being able to speak, being able to present technology ideas or cybersecurity ideas in a business context. Understanding the business. Understanding why is it something important. When you say there's a CSRF, so what... or a cloud's cross-site request forgery, then what is the business implication of it? What could happen? So after a few years of specializing, you are understanding the business context and being able to explain to business leaders or people from non-technology backgrounds and how the why this thing affects. And it could be even for, let's say, specialized areas like legal aspects also, be it GDPR or why is the consent required? Why does GDPR want you to have a consent-based approach? So making those things appear logical to the legal and the business side is also a skill which you need to do. So in being so if you are aspiring for a leadership position, you have to be able to front facing, be it through clients or through stakeholders in your organization. And also then I'll say soft skills is not only about presenting and leading, it's also about managing teams, developing the ability to lead people either without firstly influencing them without authority, and then also managing and building a team and inculcating that. And I think most important in the early years is to have a very good collaborative work with your peers, because your same peers are going to be future leaders as well. So that is where you will know, they'll be go to different organizations, you'll get a different perspective. If you are faced with a problem, you can't solve everything on your own. So you need to connect with other people, know, ask them their opinions, and then collectively solve. I think a lot of collaboration is required amongst CISOs and other security leaders to solve problems together, because we are still facing a common adversary. That means the cyber hackers or hackers or criminals. And therefore, I think collaboration coupled with learning is one of the most important things I'll ask everyone in security leadership roles to be focused on.
Yeah, totally agree. And like, I mean, that's why I like the conferences idea, because like, you know, the networking aspect of it and learning from your peers is a huge part, especially among CISOs, just because, you know, you're all facing similar problems, at least. And, you know, there's lots of sort of talk around specific solutions or ideas around securing different types of infrastructure, which I think are key. And that sharing is really important in terms of growth, but also in terms of just better security practices, right? I think it's pretty key. And another thing you mentioned, which I 100% agree on, and I was just interviewing someone before this call, you know, one thing I think is a rare skill in security is exactly what you mentioned, which is like a lot of people understand the technical aspects, but being able to like explain those technical aspects in terms of risk to the business is a skill that there's not enough of. I mean, there's not enough technical either, but I think, you know, that skill of kind of being able to explain and understand the technical aspects to a business leader or business person is a really important one that I think can set you out from most people and would help and does help people get into the leadership realm. So I think you nailed that one on the head, and 100% agree with that.
I'll add one thing that you cannot ignore the technical aspect as well. So if you've been a leader in the security industry when there are only on-prem environments and now cloud has come up, so you'll have to go ahead and pick up time and learn cloud computing. For example, I learned cloud when I had 22 years of experience. I did a 6-month course on cloud computing and learned AWS right from coding myself, or maybe building up servers on AWS myself, to learn and understand fundamentals of cloud, Dockers, containers and other microservices and other technologies. So even as security leaders, we can't ignore the technology side as well. Constantly learning the new technologies available is also equally essential to be abreast with what the market is going through and also what your adversaries are likely to use in future.
Yeah, for sure. Totally agree there. And then the kind of last question. You know, as someone who's successfully transitioned into cybersecurity and reached a leadership position, like what advice would you give individuals who are looking to start a career in the field? We talked about this a little bit, but how would you kind of like go on the progression to getting towards the leadership role?
So while the answer remains the same, to have go deep and broad, I'll give a little more perspective with some few examples. One is that as you grow ahead, you, besides building both your technology skills and building a good network, you also need to build your presence, I'll say both online and offline. You need to, a lot of good cybersecurity professionals sometimes shy away from building their presence online or otherwise, because they feel that they are introverts. So I think going ahead and removing that thought in your mind, and also switching the flip, right? Let's say from moving to a concept there where you feel that, okay, I'm going to go and do networking to gain advantage, rather than flip the switch and say, I'm going to go and share my experiences. I'm going to see what I can share with others. I can help people. Start with mentoring people, volunteering in conferences, so that you'll understand and build how the organization is moving. So that is very necessary. So if you build a large network over a period of time, then you'll be able to collaborate with these people to build and read and build a good knowledge of cybersecurity landscape. Then constantly upskilling yourself, both through reading books and nice blogs by multiple people. For example, I am reading a nice book called Zero Day, Zero Budget, by Imre Farkas, which talks about how to align a security in an organization through both soft skills as well as understanding the context of the organization. And you should also read in areas different than yours. For example, I'm reading a book called Manager's Path by Camille Fournier. Now, she talks about building the leadership in an engineering organization. But when you read that book, you start feeling that if the engineering growth path is like this, first you get a good understanding of the engineering aspects, and then you also can correlate with the cybersecurity aspects as well. So you know how, for example, she talks about lead engineers, what should you do? What should you do as you progress to become an engineering manager, a director, and then a CTO? And you can correlate those areas as well. So you're constantly learning about this thing. And final first two things is, firstly, pace yourself. I think it's cybersecurity is a long journey. There will be paths which will be going very, very fast, very high, and there will be things where you'll be going on an average speed. But constantly staying to your two goal and thinking of it as a long marathon is the way to go. So therefore, do not burn yourself out. We need good professionals in the organization. So take care of your health, both physical and mental, and be there for, because it's a long journey and we need every as many people as we can in this organization. And one of the last core advices is be ready to take risks. When I joined this e-commerce startup, I was 44 and I joined a startup and I worked almost 20, every weekends and all, because I wanted to learn. So I'm just saying, not everyone may want to do that. But once in a while, joining a startup like yours or maybe any other startup which is building, do get the chance, because the learning is exponential. So you should take risks, be it moving to new geography, be it new industry or joining a startup. So if you take risk and maybe calculated, and earlier you take them, I think it's there, but it's never too late. So I think calculated risk is very essential, taking and building that. So a mixture of learning continuously, collaboration and networking, pacing yourself, and also finally taking risks to get out of your comfort zone would enable your growth as a leader. And that's my two bits on how you can position yourself for leadership roles as well.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that's again quite accurate. Or like the taking risk piece. I mean, I 100% agree that you do learn a lot more at small companies, just because your role is less specialized. So you get to learn a lot very quickly, and often things move a bit faster just because there's less sort of process. And then, you know, potentially as a startup grows, you get to learn how to build some process, which I think is important too. So yeah, 100% agree. I think joining a startup, taking a little bit of risk, especially you know, earlier in your career, is key, and you know, something more people should do. But yeah, like, I mean, again, as you said, like, you know, need more people in the industry. I'm super excited to see the growth of the industry continue and a lot more new faces.
I would
so,
add
yeah, th- thanks a bunch.
Yeah, one more point I think, Paul, I would add is that you should always also think of volunteering yourself for any common cause organization. It could be OWASP, it could be ISC2, it could be any other forum where you can contribute, and extend it over a period of time. And if you can, let's say, for example, I am starting a small LinkedIn page and organization called Switch to Cyber, where I'm looking to help non-technical people transition to cybersecurity roles. So either partner with some social cause or contribute to ones which are available forums. That will also help you stay interested in the field, and also not be too hung up about only professional career growth. Giving back is also equally important.
Yeah, no, that's great. I mean, you know, being part of committees or organizations that support like new cybersecurity or, you know, just industry level stuff, I think is key. Yeah, and then, I mean, there's so many different committees for different sort of like youth groups and organizations that need help. And ultimately, you're helping, you know, more young people kind of get into cybersecurity, and subsequently that helps solve the larger problem, which is we just don't have enough people. Yeah, thanks again, Vikas. I really appreciate your time. You know, thoroughly enjoyed our conversation, and I think you gave a lot of great insights for you know, people interested in the sort of cybersecurity and sort of enhancing their career, as well as just some great security advice. So everyone, you know, thanks for listening to the podcast, and thank you again for tuning in. Once again, this is the Ask a CISO podcast, and this is Paul Haji signing off.